Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
I will say this, is that my body of work definitely merits a Hall of Fame induction. If I don't get into the WWE Hall of Fame, I think it'll be one of the biggest crimes in the history of professional wrestling. And that's,
you know,
all I gotta
who's
say.
Trying to get into the K-100 Hall of Fame?
Who?
And do you even, and would, and I know it's going to be no, but would you even happen to have that clip, JoJo, of Cyrus?
Yes, I do.
Listen to this. This is on a New Japan show, okay? Disco?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay, it's short. Good job, JoJo.
Every now and then. Every now and then I got something ready.
All right. Yeah, thank you.
Disco Inferno? That's true. Ugh. I can't believe he just uttered his name on our show.
Yeah, put the kid over.
He's a jobber.
Big Mark.
That was it.
That's on a New Japan telecast, okay? And he's also saying that he wants to be inducted into our Hall of Fame because he was voted third in the Wrestling Observer's Best Announcer of the Year behind Mario Ranallo and behind Corey Graves. And he says that not that many people watch New Japan compared to WWE. So if you put in context, you know, per capita, according to this advanced algorithms that he concocted or some mathematician he knows, he would have been the number one announcer. And he's asking to be put into our Hall of Fame.
Well, first of all, you don't ask to get put into the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame, first of all, you have to be nominated.
Right.
And then it's put to a vote, and the voting process is secret.
Right.
Okay, but let me just say this. I think Don Callis, based on some of the things that he said about me in the past, and that because there's a video out there. If you want to see a castration and a demasculization of somebody, go back and find the episode where Kevin Gill appeared on Killing the Town, and they eviscerated him for the better part of 15 minutes.
That was a public cucking.
But he had basically said in that podcast that I would have no, you know, I'd basically be like a bag carrier at TNA if I ever found a position there or something like this. So, you know, very, very, very disrespectful. So he would not be on the, there'd be nothing he could do to probably get himself into the Keep It 100 Hall of Fame.
How about him burying you on the New Japan telecast?
Well, it's funny that they need me to carry that, but I bet you that doesn't, that little exchanger, that 12
seconds. That little soundbite? Yeah.
And Kevin Kelly, was that Kevin Kelly calling me a jobber?
Yes, it was.
Oh, all right.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean,
have somebody new on the list?
I don't. Well, I just think it's funny that a guy that's in the professional wrestling business would refer to another performer as a jobber anybody that knows that knows what a jobber technically is in professional wrestling, jobbers don't have ring entrances, for one.
Right.
Okay, jobbers don't have contracts.
Let me put it this way. Okay. Jobbers usually – wait. Let me just say this. This is the loneliest feeling in the world. Jobbers, usually that guy, will, when they come back from a commercial break, he's already standing in the ring.
Already standing. Right. And he usually gets pummeled in the shoulder. And the guy usually doesn't even look like a wrestler. Okay, it's just a punching bag. Okay, so calling me a jobber is just erroneous reporting and slander, just stupidity. It makes him look dumb, you know, because right. Jobbers don't wear belts. You know, the jobber, there's never been like a jobber that won the title, you know? So this is just dumb on his part. And that's the type of people that the New Japan are employing there. You know, they don't even, they got announcers that don't even know the terminology. You know, that's funny.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang,
the
bang, the bang, bang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the bang, the bang, bang.
We be
dumping. Bang, the bang, the bang, bang.
Just act like you know, and homie, stop rocking
through stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the S's and the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping, rolling in my low top chucks, making sure you suckers feel me every time we buzz. Shackled up like a nut, going 5150. G'd up in the feet up, we stuff in some dickies.
I rap a lot, like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clucker in the shop, straight boosting.
All right, but here's the thing. And it's like, I think it's funny that the people that are like, all of a sudden now, they are like concerned about the wins and losses, like his record. Bro, I was like, nobody has a record. They never talk about anybody's record. The record is never brought up.
But the fans kind of know someone who just loses every match they're in. Like if you were like, Curt Hawkins is the new number one contender, you might be like, really, Curt Hawkins?
Do they really care? Bro, because here's the way they treat the matches. They cut the commercial breaks in the middle of the action. Okay, so as much as we want to try to portray this, there's nothing the way they present these matches on TV, like the wins and losses should mean a damn thing. Everybody's 50-50. They never tell you what the record of the guy is going in the match or coming out of the match. And they cut away in the middle of the matches all the time.
But that they've been doing that since Saturday Night's Main Event, dog.
But that's my point. So why would anybody all of a sudden now start caring about his wins and losses leading up to this? The whole thing is
if you lose all the time, you don't get the I feel like you don't get the people behind you unless your gimmick is to lose all the time. You know what I mean? It's hard to get over and be a star if you're not presented as one. If you,
I'm not going to disagree with that, but they don't do that. They don't do that with anybody except for Brock Lesnar. So why is Jinder Mahal any different than any other guy on that show? Because nobody on that show is winning every week.
Because I think maybe their thinking is, and I don't know, I haven't read any of what you're – I've been like, you know, I've been out of the loop like for real for 4 days. But I think that when you see a guy that's always been jobbed out from that three-man band thing or whatever it was called with the redhead guy and whoever else was in it, remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everything else that he's done has always been like he's, you know, been like a jobber, and he's always been a jobber. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he's a number one contender for the championship. You know, it does raise.
I'll go one step further, though. Right. And I think this, and this is why, and I've said this in the past, okay, that this fan base does not like guys that look good and are well built, and they're built better than their fan base. And let me make a point. Time out. I'm gonna make a good point. This angle is no different than James Ellsworth in SmackDown, except Jinder Mahal looks like $1 million. What's the difference between the two?
Well, and James Ellsworth
is over. Oh, this is what a great angle this is. Everybody's talking about. And now they're shitting on this angle. The only difference is Jinder Mahal looks great. It looks like he could actually beat these guys up for real in a fight or in a match. James Ellsworth doesn't.
Well, just to shoot down your theory that the fans don't like anyone that's built, Cesaro is a super favorite of the fans, and that guy is in way better shape.
He's not really built, but he's in good shape. But I think this is what I think. And see if you agree with this or not, KG. And because you're a super fan, and I don't mean that in a negative connotation, all right? I'm a super Mark. Like, I know May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, I'm already marking out for like three of those matches. But my question is, do you think the fan base of today has a little bit of bad taste in their mouth of all the guys that were just pushed because of their physiques? And when you see somebody that has a physique that like reminds you to those days, you know what I'm saying or no?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. I think almost the time of that being so prevalent, I feel like has so passed in a way that I don't think it's that on the mind of the average fan. I think the older fan, the historian, you know what I mean, is aware of that. But I think for them, it's more just that.
Yeah, like that transition's already happened that now it doesn't even matter anymore.
Right. That's how I feel.
Right. Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I'll say
so
this.
What, you were going to shoot down Disco's theory. What were you going to say?
Oh, well, I was just real quick about that, making points about guys with physiques. And there's a difference. The Ellsworth story is a rags to riches. It's a Cinderella story. It's totally different than a guy. So just change Jinder Mahal to Kurt Hawkins.
Bro, they boo Cena and Roman Reigns. Those guys look like a million bucks.
But in other words, but are the fans wrong fans, about what? Here's a crazy idea.
Would rather see Sami Zayn fighting Kevin Owens for the World Heavyweight title than John Cena versus Roman Reigns. They think those two would be more credible fighting for the title than John Cena against Roman Reigns.
Well, there was a time people talked the same way about Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and all these other people that aren't 6'6 and aren't 285. You know what I mean?
Those guys look.
Or how about Ric Flair?
Timeout. Don't even try to compare like Sami Zayn and Owens to Flair, Bret Hart, and Shawn Michaels. That is an asinine comparison.
I think you're very disrespectful.
It's just a ridiculous comparison. Okay, they're closer to James Ellsworth than the artist Cena and Reigns.
That's ridiculous.
They're not.
That's ridiculous.
Sami Zayn and James Ellsworth are almost the same size.
Conan.
Except Zayn's built a little bit better. Am I right?
Let
me ask you this. Who is in size the same as Zayn closer to? James Ellsworth or John Cena?
In terms of physical size, yeah, he would be closer in size, I'm guessing, to Ellsworth.
Ellsworth, he just looks a little bit better than him, though.
A little bit.
Yeah, but he's a million times better worker.
He's a world-class performer.
But I'm going to say this.
They're definitely not any, you know, I don't think you were comparing him. I think you weren't, KG, because none of those guys you just mentioned, and much respect to Kevin Owens, big fan of his, much respect to Generico, big fan of his way back when he was in Mexico, but they're nothing work-wise like Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart. Nothing. Like leagues above them.
Yes.
Allow me just to add that there's always a new generation and there's always new eyes on product. And for people that are watching wrestling for the very first time right now, people that are 10 years old, 14 years old, and this is their run, their Attitude Era, their Nitro Era, their glory days of watching wrestling.
All right.
Yeah, these guys may be them for them
right now, right? But you were comparing them to them, I think,
I'm making the analogy in that way. Do you know what I mean? They're those people of today,
yeah, or they are those people of today, but they weren't as good as those guys.
Well, let me tell you something. This is the issue, okay? And this is why at some point WWE is going to start doing this. Is they're going to start hungering for better ratings at some point, and this niche audience that they have right now, these guys are not going to draw. They've been on TV for 2 to 3 years, and the audience remains. If they were like, of course you can, because like the way marketing, the way the internet is growing, it's impossible not to make money, especially with kids. Okay, my point being, Kevin, you don't, Kevin. Okay,
bro, do you know how hot? And we've talked about it on the show, Di. Do you know how hot wrestling is right now? Like in Europe, especially England, it's never been like this since I've been in the business.
Bro, they just got a TV. What are you talking about? They just got a TV deal. It's like stunt wrestling's all over the place like it used to be.
Indie promoters are running in the United Kingdom in 8,000 to 10,000.
How much money Rey Mysterio is making?
Stop with indie promoters. I'm seeing shows at buildings with this 400 people there, and because they're tweeting pictures of it out on the internet, we're making it seem like it's more important than it actually is. They're indie shows.
Okay,
wrestling in the indie markets.
And tickets aren't $10 anymore, you know?
Bro, that show that's I think it's called ITV, the one that Jim Ross was going to be on, and WWE pulled them from England.
Yeah.
That's like as big as NBC is here, okay? And not even WWE's on NBC. They just had, and I heard this because the owner was there this week, and Jeff was talking with him about it. They did humongous numbers on Spike TV, the UK version, you know? So, bro, and these are big, major channels. It's really lit up there, dog, straight up.
Where this is in England you're talking about?
In England, yeah. No, in Timbuktu, yeah.
Hey, well, that's a different market. But it's lit
in
Japan.
But it's becoming a worldwide market with hotbed right now.
I'm talking about the United States revolution.
Disco in the United States is hot right now.
Stop it, guys. Stop it.
Bro, indie wrestling
is hot because it's hot because you can see it on the internet. Hey, you're trying to sit there and tell me, bro, our club on Fridays and Saturday nights draws more people than any indie show in the United States.
I love how every metric you have has something to do with the club.
I'm just saying, you're talking indie shows that have like, but we have 1,500 to 2,000 people that come through our doors on the weekends. Show me indie shows that are doing that every weekend are on a regular basis doing 1,500, 2,000 people. Indie shows are still indie shows. They're for niche audiences. They're for your comic book crowd type people that like to go to these shows. Guys like you, Kevin, who are super fanboys that like to go to indie shows that go watch the shows that are freaks for professional wrestling. Indie shows have never been for mainstream fans. They're for hardcore fans. Bro, don't
they draw in all types of new fans who are drawn to a cool new art form and performance, and they go and they see guys like Ricochet or Joey Ryan or Jeff Cobb, and they get their mind blown, the Young Bucks, you know what I'm saying? And then they come back and they bring their friends. There's girls at indie shows now. Like, I go to, you know what I mean? Like, it's not the...
Think about what you just said.
What?
There's girls at indie shows now?
Correct.
Bro, that just tells you the type of audience that this is.
No, but it tells you how the change is happening. If a bunch of hot girls show up to watch wrestling, that's cool.
We're tiny. Hot girls don't show up.
Wait a minute. Let me throw this one. Wait. I have been on the indie scene in for real close. Hot girls do not go to indie shows. But go ahead.
I've seen them starting to attend here in San Francisco in particular for all pro wrestling. The demographic is continuing to increase.
Find hot girls at the WWE shows on TV. Hey, wrestling is not a product for hot girls anymore. They don't go to the shows.
What I'm just telling you is there's new people getting turned on to it.
It's like you said, it's an art form. It's a performance. It's gotten away from the principles of larger than life
characters. From your principles.
Bro, but I'm just, once again, I will just point out and say, look at the numbers. The ratings are down. And you're making excuses.
In other words, where the ratings are today, where the ratings, but listen to this, Conan.
Everything is a decrease in the size of audience and fans. Okay, so would you point to is like, wait a second, the indie shows are doing good. It's like, bro,
that's part of the wrestling economy.
I used to work independent wrestling shows back in the day that had just as many people as PWG does today. That the House of it's the same thing.
But here's the thing. Here's a big difference.
The internet, and we weren't tweeting out pictures of the show, showing moves and stuff. We didn't have that back then.
Every day we're processing more and more information, news, opinions, social media, apps, new technology. And if you're going to stay ahead of the curve, your brain needs to be firing on all cylinders. But let me ask you, are you feeding your brain? If you're getting brain fog, having trouble concentrating or remembering things, or, like me, need help battling with the master of the verbal gems, Conan, it could be that your brain is not getting the nutrients it needs to perform at its best. Joe, I think you have a perfect example of this, is you forgot our schedule, the time we were supposed to start.
I certainly did. I'm actually going on the site right now to order it.
That's why I would like to encourage you to try Total Mind. Total Mind is a daily nootropic supplement specifically designed to help your cognitive function. A blend of key vitamins, minerals, and DMAE, a naturally occurring compound that has been shown to increase neurotransmitter production and prevent age-related decline and memory loss. I could use that. Total Mind is the latest in a new line of products for our friends at Legacy Sports Nutrition, with our good friend Nick Aldis. Try a 30-day supply of Total Mind now and see the results for yourself. Go to LegacySups.com and use code K100 for 10% off your entire order. Get smart with Total Mind. That's LEGACYSUPPS.com and use code K100 for 10% off your entire order.
I think you need an alarm clock, not legacy subs, even though you could use that too. Yes. But let me tell you what happened, and I doubt very seriously, very disingenuous for you to say, oh, I was ordering it just as you were saying it. I highly doubt that because I didn't see you order it. Right. But I will say this.
Order. Oh, he did order it.
You are very quick. What was the other thing? Oh, so here's what happened. He had told me about this, Nick. So I tried it because, you know me, I like to smoke a lot of weed. So I forget shit. Or maybe it's my age. I don't know. And it's really actually helped me remember more stuff and with my concentration. That's why, you know, we're shopping this to you guys. Because I tried it myself and it worked. And I'm always fucking high, forgetting everything, you know. So it does work. Get your mind right with Total Mind at Legacy Subs. Boom.
No, here's a big difference because the landscape is hotter. And because the landscape is hotter, there's way, way, way more work now. There's way more. And yeah, maybe this one does 400 and that one does 600. And this one does 1,000. But that's how the wrestlers get paid now. And thank God for them. That way they don't have to be putting up with some of the bullshit in politics. You know how it is in WWE, bro. If you go in there and you're not on top, and bro, who really is happy there? Anybody you talk to, they always leave complaining. I mean, unless you're really being taken care of monetarily, it's if they don't push you, that place can be miserable. So these guys are all trying to make sure that the indie landscape is good so they don't have to go there unless they have to.
But that's what you're making my point, though.
Which is?
the only thriving work out there is for indie shows. So you know, so basically, we're having less and less and less and less and less people making big money in professional wrestling today.
But you have a great talent pool,
bro. I could argue that you can sit there talk. You always talk about the great talent. Okay, when they make a couple million bucks, I'll call them a great talent.
Well, right, okay. But if 10 people in the world do that a year, then that, to me, I'm also interested in who's outside of that spectrum too, because just because you get paid the most, like Kenny G probably makes more than...
Everybody's going, these guys are all going to be flashes in the pan. Everybody goes to show... I'm telling you, I watch...
Okay, let's get specific. Are the Young Bucks a flash in the pan?
Well, because they got charisma.
Okay, what about Ricochet?
Ricochet's going to get hurt.
What?
Keith Lee's going to get hurt. I watch the way that guy works. Unless he starts throwing it down, he's way too big to be doing to risking his body like that. He's a talented guy, but like I said, bro, these guys are all doing stuff in front of small crowds, which you say is a thriving market, okay, for a minimal amount of money. Okay, maybe a lot for them because it may be a lot for an indie show. And what they're doing from a cost effective standpoint, they're not going to last. Okay, and I will state my reputation on that, because everything I've said about this is coming to fruition. Guys are getting more and more guys are getting hurt. Okay.
Well, how about somebody that was like one of the craziest high flyers of all time, Juventud Guerrera?
Wait. Crazy high flyer? Bro, yes. Juventud was crazy like these guys are.
Bro, really? Juventud's like tapes of Juventud doing stuff you won't believe, bro. You saw him from WCW, and that's it. You didn't see him in Mexico, and I can send you tape. Probably our boy Kevin Kleinrock has some. Him, Psychosis, and Ray were doing insanely crazy shit. All high flyers doing, that's a risk they take. That's why, you know.
Point being, how many surgeries has Ray had?
Yeah, Ray's had about 9.
Okay, but that's the thing. Ray's one of the best ones Ray arguably is the best one there's ever been, okay?
It's hard to be in wrestling disco and never get hurt. If you're you know what I'm saying? And some guys are more high risk taker than others, and they're, you know,
I will say this. Okay, as long as they continue to take these risks, it's a mathematical equation, bro. Like the guys are they keep upping the bar with the risks. And it's just gonna, bro, there's a point of diminishing returns that is going to happen. And like these guys are continuing, bro.
But disco. Remember when like bungee jumping first came out, and you were like, "Who the hell invented this shit?" Like the first time you ever saw it, and then the next thing you see, like these guys that they jump out of planes, and they're like on little hang gliders and they're hang gliding all the way down through mountains. And you're like, what's next? I mean, it's just, we're always going to be upping each other, that we're adrenaline junkies, you know, as fans and as participants, you know, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, well, skateboarding, bike riding, motocross, anything, you know, and it's, and the market is thriving. There weren't that many promotions before disco. And if you wouldn't give me so many excuses, you would have already wrestled in Crash or managed Juventud in Crash. I've invited you a couple times.
I know. What did I tell you though? I said, I can't leave work. I can't, yeah. I have a job.
You know? Can get one day off.
But I use my go home days to go see my parents, who are like 80 years old now. You know, Friday and Saturday nights are usually very difficult for me. I can work the shows in Vegas because I can go do the show at 7:30. They can put me on like second. I can be out of there at quarter after eight. I can be at work at nine. It's like, but for me to leave town.
Okay, well, let me just say this. Would this be an honest statement? Okay, You have wrestled or performed in less than five states in the last 2 years.
Less than five? One, two, three. Well, yeah, because I've worked like in New York, like three different places there.
All right, so it's very hard for you to really know what the indie landscape is like.
It's very easy. I'm seeing it's not going on the internet. Oh, I'm seeing tweets of the shows all the time.
Okay,
I see the guys. I've seen the guys wrestle. Most of the guys, bro. Every good indie wrestler has come through Vegas and wrestled for FSW.
Wouldn't this be an indication of if something's thriving or not, that there's way more work right now than probably in the last 10, 15 years on the indie scene?
Oh, I couldn't even like tell you.
No, but I am telling you. Wouldn't that be an indication that things are not bad?
No, I'm just saying that's a fact, what I just told you. No, here's the thing. When I was still working for a living,
right?
Okay, I was working every weekend.
Right.
I was so there was any work for me,
right?
Like I didn't have trouble. You were a guy
off TV, so to speak. These are all kind of self-made. Most of them are self-made stars.
That's my point. There was always indie work.
Okay, well, bro, I was on the indies back then, and I'm on the indies now, and I'm telling you, it's better now.
Boom.
Okay, well, I don't.
We'll still disagree. Bro,
just take the L.
No, I said it's a different, bro. It's different people come watch the shows.
You're embarrassing yourself now.
You go to independent wrestling shows. It's a bunch of goobers chanting, "This is awesome."
I will admit that cool people don't go to it as much as they used to. Mostly nerds, but all those nerds are cool and they're passionate, you know. And so,
right, but it's a niche market. The wrestling fan is like a weird character today. Like they live and eat, breathe wrestling because there's so much you're engaged in it every day on the web. Okay, so it's like a different animal. They're kind of like trolls that like go see wrestling shows because they're like they have the same characteristics where they're all the time, you know.
I don't know if I told you the story and so we can end this, but this really showed me how hyper passionate we are as wrestling fans. The guy from Lucha Underground, Eric Van Wagenen.
Oh, right.
He worked on Survivor, and he worked on he worked with Trump on the
Apprentice.
The Apprentice, and they're both Mark Burnett Productions, okay? And he works for Mark Burnett. Mm-hmm. He said that those two shows combined didn't get as much emails as he does from Lucha Underground.
Wow.
That shows you how much, like, how passionate the fans are. You know what I'm saying? Now imagine that The Apprentice is like on NBC. He's one of the top three major channels, free TV.
Yep.
And
big
so
push.
Was the, right. And so is the other one. And this is on El Rey.
Right.
They're just totally consumed the product.
That's my point. Okay. The fanatics.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's all these crowds are the fanatics.
But who
it's
cares?
It's not like there's a mixture to see the show. Independent wrestling shows. There's right. not a mixture, an eclectic mixture of people. It's one group, fanatics, that no, go like, to the shows and they'll go everywhere for the show.
But well, there's people who bring their friends. There's families that come drawn in by sometimes names of the past, sometimes names that they just hear buzz about.
Brother, guys like Kevin, you're talking about people like yourself. Bro, you came all the way to Las Vegas to watch Ring of Honor tapings and FSW. Okay, and a lot of the people
and,
Listen to this. I'm not saying just record, but a lot of other fans did what you did. They came from all over to come see this weekend in Vegas.
Right.
Okay. But that's like that. That was the crowd. That was it.
And that's the Ring of Honor product, which is a great product. But maybe you know, I don't know their demographic as well. But they put on an incredible show, and I was invited there to go, and I went there and I had a great time.
But my whole point is that this is just a niche audience, and we're giving a lot of content to it. And because they're thirsty for content, they'll go anywhere to see shows wherever near them they are. Okay, that's my point.
Well, that's the type of fan base I want following me.
Yeah, that sounds like a hardcore fan base.
That's like a very loyal, hardcore fan base, and that's what you want. You know what I'm saying?
I would kind of like want to expand my fan base. That's my thing, bro. It's like that's like almost the only people that are watching WWE now too.
Yeah.
Is that the big show?
But they're not doing, because you know why, Glenn? Because they're not doing cool shit. And if they're not doing cool shit, like the, you know what I'm saying? Who wants to watch it? Like I couldn't believe whenever I used to do a go home show in Mexico. And shouts out to Moody, who is a lot, Hector Moody Melendez. When we did a go home show, that show was incredible. You know, it was like can't miss, because we wanted to make sure you saw the big show. You know what I'm saying? So I get very disappointed when I see this type of effort from them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah,
I'll just see you guys are, and then you promote shows. You're more involved in this because you're booking. You're having a scout talent. Look at them and try to have them bring to your show.
Right.
Okay. You know, Kevin goes to Wrestle Circus and does commentary. Goes to the, like, you guys are engaged in the scene.
Right.
I'm a huge wrestling fan and a huge wrestling mark. Okay. Right. And I'm drawn to that. Okay. And that's a lot.
Because I don't think you've seen enough of, because you know why.
But that's just saying. The reason I'm not drawn to it. Okay, you can't discount the concerns I have of why I'm not attracted to that part of the product. That's my whole thing. If you can find a medium, if you can find a way to grab me, okay, and I'll say this, here's a perfect example. Like even the FSW show has a big problem with this. Bro, we don't have enough hot girls at the show. Like Conan, I know you're smart about that. Where like you'll have, you know, on your shows, how many hot chicks do you have, like bringing guys to the ring and stuff, everything like that.
Oh, a bunch. A lot.
Okay. And how big are your crowds?
Yeah, they're humongous. They're big. We sell out.
So there's a sex appeal of professional wrestling that can't be ignored that I don't think most of the indie, like the indie scene, that market like gravitates towards that. Like, I don't think they care about that. You know what I'm saying?
Because they're probably doing good without it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm like a real big indie, you know what I'm saying? So I'm getting mainstream and hardcores.
Right.
I get both. You know?
Exactly. What
we've done in TJ is like we've made it the cool place to be. And, exactly. And the place is cool, and then you see cool shit. You know, like when you see the Young Bucks, when was the last time you saw the Young Bucks?
It's been a while.
Okay. Did you see them live or you saw them on tape?
I've seen them live and on tape.
Yeah, they're ridiculously entertaining live, bro. Like ridiculously entertaining, and then of course they're going against Pentagon and Phoenix. That match will be incredible, and so yeah, we make a concerted effort to either have girls matches. There's always hot girls that are like ring girls and stuff, and they'll do dances in between matches and shit like that. And but like I said, we're kind of like a real big indie, and we also attract, you know, mainstream, not just a crowd.
I don't consider your show to be a show an indie.
Yeah,
your show's not an indie because you've got a huge crowd in a bigger building, and like something, it's not a small arena, and you've got a lot of attractive, you've got sex appeal on your show. Okay, the indie market for professional wrestling in the United States does not really embrace that aspect of it like you do. You're running a big arena show. You're not running an indie show. It's an indie show because you're not the WWE and you're not AAA and you're not you. But your show is run like a big arena. That's my point. It's like these other shows don't run shows like a big arena show. And that's why they're all still like the small arena product, you could say, is thriving. But there's a select fan base that will gravitate and go to that every single weekend. I bet you, bro, if you took Crash on tour, OK, I bet you could probably do big houses all through the United States and go to bigger arenas. Because the fact that you can draw a bigger crowd and what you consider yourself as an indie product, because you embrace the other things that draw casual fans to the show, like sex appeal, hot girls making it a cool place to go instead of just a place to go watch wrestling. I think that is a better formula than what's being presented today, where all we're doing is going to wrestling shows, watching guys perform and do acrobatics and stuff, everything, and all that, and not embracing the other aspect of professional wrestling, which is sex appeal, which is always drawn. You know?
And let me tell you what's been so cool in TJ, and this will be the last thing I'll say, is in TJ now, you know, like on a Friday night, you know, people be like, yo, do you want to go to the club? Yo, do you want to go drinking or do you want to go to wrestling? Like, wrestling is now a place to go, and they don't even care who's on it. They know that going there, no matter who's on, there's going to be like either a great angle, couple great matches, you know, really funny chants. You know, just a good time. You know what I'm saying? And your people watching, and you're bumping into friends, and it's like a cool place to hang out now. So that took us a while to do, and it finally did happen.
There's a new sports drama series on Starz, and it's set in the world of indie wrestling. Heels follows a family-owned wrestling promotion as two brothers war over control of the league and their late father's legacy. Ace and Jack Spade's rivalry, both in and out of the ring, is the main event. Brother versus brother, hero versus heel. Even CM Punk is stepping back onto the mat for a cameo. Alexander Ludwig plays Ace Spade, the beloved hero, young hotshot, and star of the Duffy Wrestling League. Outside the ring, Ace struggles to reconcile his idol status with his habit for self-destruction. Stephen Amell plays his brother in league heel, Jack Spade. This hard-working proprietor, husband, and father is trying to breathe new life into the DWL. Heels is available to watch now on Starz and the Starz app.
Yo, check out Heels on Starz and the Starz app. Boom.
Let's talk about this past weekend. I don't even know where you were. You had so many things going on this weekend.
No, Brian. We're not going to talk about anything about that. We're going to talk about this because it's important. Okay? I want to talk about, since we have Conan here, and I'm sure everybody wants to know, what exactly, we can ask him questions if he's going to answer them. I don't know if he's going to answer them or not. What is the gist of the working relationship between AAA and AEW? Is AAA going to have any say in the way their characters are booked on the show? Is Conan going to be involved in any of the booking of the characters of AAA, since he's the booker of AAA? How is that dynamic going to work? Or have there been any talks about how that dynamic is supposed to work? See, Kevin, I'm asking important questions, and you were going to come and bring your lame ass shit. I'm asking the hard.
The hell's going on here?
All right, so go ahead, Conan. Let's talk about that.
Which is the first one you want to know?
Okay, the working relationship between AEW and AAA, does that mean AEW can use whichever AAA guys they want whenever they want to use them? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, who is going to be booking? Are you going to have any say in the finishes of the matches that the AAA characters work when they work in AEW? Has that even been discussed?
Probably not, but they'll tell me what it is going to be ahead of time.
Okay, who is the in charge creative at AEW?
It's like a committee, like Tony Khan, the Young Bucks, and Cody.
Okay, have you had any discussions with those guys collectively?
Yes.
Have you had a discussion with Tony Khan?
Yes.
What are your opinions of Tony Khan so far?
Very nice guy. You could tell he was a humongous fan. And
when you talked to him, did he keep asking you questions about me?
He asked me, he's a big and idiot as he looks and sounds, and I said even bigger.
Okay, that's that's very disrespectful. Okay, and I know
you asked the question.
It's fake news. All right,
I don't okay. know.
Which
I will say this. I will say this, Kevin.
Yeah.
Do not miss Disco's appearances on Impact, because some of them are very, very funny.
I heard somebody tweeted about one of his appearances and how he was used, and I said that seems like the best way to possibly use Disco on a wrestling show. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
Plus,
let's just be honest, Clint.
I'm going to put over one more thing. Let me put it over, because maybe the last time I put you over in a long time. When he came out, there was a disco chant, and he somehow, by the end of the segment, turned the people against him, which I thought was awesome.
Well, we know he's good at making people hate him. There's no out there.
Was that a shot, do you think, Disco, or no?
No. Let me ask you another question. But I mean it.
Let me ask you another question. Let me ask you another question then. What about the talents that are working? So does AAA still have a working agreement with Impact also?
Yes.
So AAA is going to have working agreements with Impact and with AEW, correct?
Here's what I like. Here's what I do like. And Kevin will remember this better than you, because you very rarely pay attention. When I first left AAA, one of the main things that I was subscribing to, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, is everybody needs to work together, right? And there was always too much people being paranoid of others. The business is fostered like this atmosphere of nobody should trust each other, or work together, or fuck them, or whatever. And for me, it's really cool that AAA is working with, you know, AEW, and they're working with Impact, you know, and some of the – and they're finally starting to think not like old school, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's funny because when this whole AEW, AAA, and Alliance got announced
– even with Mass Public, you guys weren't for a while even – and now you guys are working together.
Yeah, yeah. No, but and when this whole thing got announced, I was talking with Eric Mutter, Colt Icon from Lucha Central, and I said, this is literally Conan's vision of what he's wanted to do coming together, of all these groups sharing talent, exchanging talent, you know, what's happening. Just because some talent is going to get used on AEW doesn't mean, you know, that they shouldn't get used in AAA or vice versa. There is enough good talent, enough good, you know, hopefully good booking, and it really opens the opportunities. And I think it, you know, it goes down again to what are the products looking like. Obviously, we know the AAA TV product and style, and what it is to watch AAA is very different than what this vision Tony and AEW are putting forward that they want to present for wrestling, different than what Impact's doing. And so, you know, hopefully this is new potentially golden era.
Let me just say two things real quick, though. Having spoken to them, to that group that I told you about, the two things that stuck out to me is, like, they want to make sure that all the mistakes that were made at Impact, that were made at WCW, whatever mistakes WWE's made, that they are not repeated, and that they're not even going to be, you know, money marks and just be throwing money crazy to everybody just to have this big roster.
That's what they're doing. But they're not.
I mean, listen, honestly.
What do you mean they're not? No, bro, I've heard the numbers. They're astronomical.
Listen, crazy. Do yourself a favor, in some of your free time, go listen to the interview that Jericho just did his show.
Talk is with Jericho, Tony Khan. I listened to it.
And he's very specific on there. That look, yes, obviously you have to spend money on certain people to build a roster. But what they're not going to do is be WCW. Or current WWE and try to sign people just to sign people. There's only so much you can do in a two-hour show. And obviously, like we've seen, you know, the deals that people are going to have are going to be different.
Let me just say one thing.
Paying guys excessively more than what their market value is I mean, if you can't – if you're not going to put
value,
that in the
– Stop it. That's what – value
stop
WWE
it.
Put on it. That's not the market value. Let me say there's a narrative now being that I've kind of picked up on in the last few weeks, like, oh, well, they don't know what they're doing, and, you know, they're just being money marks and all this. I talked to them. You haven't. And so at the end of the day, I have a little bit of perspective. They know what the fuck they're doing. They're not a bunch of idiots.
I mean, the thing is this, too, though, right? We've seen
I'm not saying they're idiots. I'm not saying they don't know what they're doing.
Oh, you're a money mark, you're an idiot.
You just sat there and said, I'm using your words.
Right?
You said they're not going to make the same mistakes that Impact and WCW made.
Right.
And right off the bat, they're paying guys way more than their market value is.
So how is that not a mistake? Value is jackass, not the market value.
You gotta be kidding.
All right, so give me an example. Who Who are they overpaying for?
I'm not going to reveal because I know what some of these guys are making. Okay. I'm not going to reveal it on the air because I don't think it's appropriate. But you know and I know that they're paying too much.
You don't think it's appropriate? Okay, well, whatever. If
they start, but I'm just saying that it's right off the bat they could be making a mistake.
Yeah,
they want to make mistakes. It's like, geez, well, they're paying a lot of money.
Sometimes, and we've seen this in baseball, we've seen it in football, we've seen it in every fucking sport, not just wrestling, you got to overpay some guys to keep them. And if that might be the case, so be it. It happens in AAA, too, and it happens everywhere.
I don't know. Eventually, after my appearances on Impact, after getting over so big, I'm sure they'll be calling me. But first of all, I got to get El Gringo Conan. Here's what we got to do: get me into AAA first. El Gringo PMA, PMA Luchador, okay? Right. And then since AAA has the working relationship with AEW, I can do a run in on one of their shows.
And put you up against Sabu,
or Hamburger Boy.
Hamburger Boy. What's the guy's name again?
I want to hear you say it.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's the guy's name again?
Go ahead.
What do you think it is? El Hijo del Hamburguesa?
Not too bad.
Chico Hamburguesa.
Yeah, Niño Hamburguesa.
El Niño Hamburguesa. That's great.
He loves that. Boy.
Yes, I do. Conan.
What up?
You know, the Olympics, Euros, baseball, major championships, and concerts are all in this summer.
Right.
You know what isn't?
What?
A wild and hairy bush.
That never is.
Tame your pubes with help from our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Their fourth-generation performance package includes the brand-new Lawnmower 4.0. If an athlete treats their body like royalty, why not treat your pubes like Olympic gold? Fellas, do right by your balls and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com with the code K100. The world is starting to open, and the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped is here to help you get ready. Inside, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and hair and nose trimmer, crop preserver, ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, plus two free gifts, performance boxer briefs, and the shed travel bag. These are my two favorite things about it, is like I pack all of my Manscaped stuff in my travel bag whenever I travel, and the boxer briefs are very comfortable.
Because it's a nice leather bag.
Yeah, so talk about a world-class dismount to a post-quarantine world. This package is a perfect package for your package and peak performance in whatever sport you desire. The brand new Lawnmower 4.0 is here to take the podium. The fourth generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0, this is a great item, has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock, and it gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. And did I mention that this trimmer is waterproof too? You can use it in the shower. Michael Phelps is drooling just thinking about the possibilities. And this package also comes with a weed whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in both your nose and ear. This tool is a lock to take home the golden biathlon. The weed whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Need I remind you, waterproof means you can use it in the shower. This nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. And after trimming your pubes, show them sportsmanship with the Manscaped's liquid formulation. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner are the key to feeling victorious this year and key to making your nether regions smell better. Manscaped also threw in two free gifts of the Performance Package 4.0, the boxers, which are fantastic, and the Shed Travel Bag, which is also fantastic. So get 20% off plus free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. You can achieve pubic glory this year with Manscaped. Joe, I know you use Manscaped. I know Coney used Manscaped. By far, my favorite item that we promote here. I use all of them. I keep myself trimmed, keep myself clean, keep myself smelling good.
Right. The great thing about this thing is no more razors, no more shaving cream, no more having to shave real quick or in the dark and you cut yourself. I mean, it's got a light. It's very aerodynamic. It's not some bulky bullshit you hold in your hand. Hopefully Joe will get rid of that freeze-dried coleslaw or corn starch he has on his face with this thing. I don't know why he hasn't. But the great thing about this is you can use it on your hair, under your arms, on your legs, on your chest, everywhere. It isn't just for your nether regions. You're welcome, Manscaped, for us giving that information out. And it's just a great product. You know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, everybody
products plural.
Yeah, products.
There's a lot of
right.
different things in here that they use.
Right, right. Yeah, like, you know, one that we haven't mentioned is one that I really enjoy and have also ordered recently is the Foot Duster Cooling Foot Deodorant Spray. Use it on stinky feet, and you can use it on your shoes, too, to keep them smelling nice. So I definitely have that handy.
Yes.
You look like you have stinky feet, Joe.
Yeah, it's changed with age.
That's why you always see me in sandals. So, you know, and bro, everybody shaves except for German women, nothing. What's the deal over there in Germany that they don't shave, D.I.? Is that a cultural thing, right?
Yeah.
Very European.
Remember because those German girls, they wouldn't shave their underarms?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a thing today, though. Did that change over time?
Okay, somebody from Germany that listens to the show, and we do have listeners there, let us know if that's still a thing, you know? But anyways, you know, get your grooming on. Today, women are very attracted to guys that are clean. Well, they actually always have been, and keep their shit. You know, when you look nice, you look neat. That means you are neat. And, you know, women look at you at a different way. Not only that, when you go for job interviews, the way you look is the way you're treated, bro. And that's just the way it is. You want to look neat at all times and well-groomed. So you can't go wrong with this Manscaped. Get your grooming needs. Boom.
But the match was decent. Okay, it was a decent. The finish was awkward because I think the timing got messed up. But what they did with this and what they got out of it, I just think the whole thing was very bizarre. Because me and Conan talked about this earlier on the Master Public Minute, and I don't know what you guys think about this, but you had what was going to be one of your biggest matches on your live TV on your Wednesday show in a very, very long time, which will probably draw a number, and the out on this was watch Impact on Tuesday night.
But it's
I'm just thinking like this is rookie bookers. They don't know like this helped Impact.
It does.
Like, bravo for Impact for a brilliant move.
It does,
you know?
But I think it would just happen. It's way too soon to go. Yeah, go to Impact and see what happens on Impact. Then see what happens on AEW. I think it's just the first step. And something that's going to be really compelling, and it's going to shine a light on some other guys. And
Joe,
it's going to—I think I really do. I really do. Yeah.
The first thing it's going to do, number one, and if it doesn't do this, it's a mathematical miracle. The first thing it's going to do is going to make Impact's rating bigger this week.
What do you think it'll add?
So Impact is going to have more people watching.
Without a doubt.
That's no doubt about that. I think we would all agree on that. Raise your hand if you think Impact's rating is going to be up this week.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't think we would all agree with is, okay, will AEW's rating be up next week?
If this
would
is,
everybody agree if I said they're going to be up next week? Would everybody agree with that?
Yeah, next week's going to be up. Yeah,
it will. Next week will be.
Depends on by how much you want.
Well, depends. Okay, all right. So I'm saying no. You're saying maybe.
Yeah.
What are you saying, Carl?
A little bit.
Well, I'm
maybe
saying
or no.
I'm saying okay. I'm saying if Omega goes to Impact this week and somebody beats him down or a couple guys beat him down and then they say I'll see your ass in Dynamite. AEW next week, AEW's ratings will go up.
Yeah. Well, also,
why would they go up?
Also, because they want to see these guys from Impact coming in and doing something.
Bro, do you actually think that there's people that watch Impact and don't watch AEW?
Yeah, I was going to say that there is hardcore Impact fans. There really is. That you know, bleed Impact.
Is, I mean, how many people are you drawing?
I don't know, bro. I don't have list.
I'm just saying,
I know exactly who and how many people.
I'm telling you how it is.
There's got to be some people that, huh?
Common sense would dictate, every time
we have a conversation, you're just trying to make a point. I'm just telling you that their ratings will go up. Maybe non-casuals that weren't going to watch it are going to be, I want to see this with Impact. Maybe people that usually watch Raw and don't watch, you know, though, they're going to be interested.
Yeah, people,
you know,
like the ones that don't watch
every week hardcore, just casual, when only something cool is going to happen or they read something's going to happen, you know what I'm saying? Like, they'll be interested to see this.
People like invasions as a rule always get some casual interest.
Bro, you guys are in the bubble.
No, but
and this is not like this. Outside the bubble, nobody like this is. You know,
it just started though. How can you tell already?
Bubble to generate the buzz and stuff. That like they watch all the shows. This is for the dirt. They're booking this angle for the dirt sheets. This is what they're taking the show that's drawing way better numbers than a show below it is letting the champion of that show go on the show that's drawing way better, so to help them draw more numbers. That's all that's happening here. They could have, like, you know, I'm just saying, like, Kenny Omega won the championship. And it's like,
okay, so
the angle is that
you
said,
yeah,
you're
just okay. Like, you know the T-shirt sales and the popularity of the Bullet Club, right?
Let me just say something.
Of course it does. Of course,
bro.
It does.
What the f- can I ever talk on this? Listen, if Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, right, who used to be in the Bullet Club with the Young Bucks,
yep.
Okay,
and Kenny.
If they say they're gonna be there next week. It's gonna pop a rating.
Yeah,
I guarantee you.
And you're just thinking short term for next week.
Tell Hughie to mark this show. Let's get all these comments.
Yeah,
and we'll keep score. All right,
right.
When the time comes.
Disco predicts the future. Yeah. No, I think you're thinking short term.
No. It's Disco hates Sting.
Disco hates AEW versus Impact. Dude, I think if this is a long term thing and guys jump back and forth on the shows and they promote a pay per view.
Every excuse I hear for AEW is it's a long term angle. It's like, I don't know, it's a long term angle. They just did it. I just think it's very. Here's my point. We've talked about this being Conan. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
You have and I think everybody in the business or people that aren't in the business, that have been around, people that have booked and written TV before, looked at ratings and gotten into it and had to analyze ratings. You have to write TV and you're watching what the AEW, Tony Khan and these guys are doing, and they're not booking to get ratings. Because they're not booking to get ratings for the show.
And what was Sting doing
the type
there?
Of show.
Why bring in Sting, a guy who's only going to wrestle once or twice for you, if you're not trying to get ratings? Sting's mystery appearance was obviously to get people talking.
That's my point. You think this is how you get ratings? Oh, we'll bring in Sting and we'll put him on the show.
Yeah.
All right, what's he going to do? Nothing. All right. Well, brother, this is everything I say is they have tools at their disposal and they're making a lot of rookie mistakes. I think everybody's everybody gives them a pass and takes it easy on it.
Bro, I think what they did with Sting was fine.
Yeah,
they are rookies.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
They are rookies.
Yeah.
Well, treat them like rookie and call them out when they're making mistakes.
Well, I don't think the Sting thing was a mistake.
No, and
I feel like I bury AEW a lot.
Yeah.
So for me putting over stuff on this show, I think they did a decent job with this week. So,
I think long term, you'll see that there's going to be plenty of benefits to this. Cross promotional angle. I think it's going to
work. Give me an example of a long term angle they've done in AEW since October of last year that has worked.
Cody versus MJF.
Cody versus Jericho.
Okay, well,
Omega versus Moxley.
Time out. Where's MJF right now?
He's in the top stable. He's in the big top storyline.
He's diluted in these demand. Bro, let me tell you something.
They're going to break up the inner circle.
This is the biggest problem I've had with AEW so far. Okay,
well,
this
how's
is
he
why,
diluted?
Let me tell you, we already discussed this. Number one, MJF and Jericho, two of the best talkers in the company, right?
Yeah.
What are they? So these two guys are going to be in an angle with each other. What are they doing? What has the angle been for the past 10 weeks?
MJF joins the inner circle. Now he's causing friction.
Comedic.
Comedy.
Will he?
Comedy.
No, but if he's in it and he's breaking up the top stable.
Stop. You had MJF is a great talker. Yeah. Jericho's a great talker. If you subtracted MJF and put Shawn Michaels in and did the same angle that Shawn Michaels and Chris Jericho did, a serious angle between two great competitors with two great mic skills, okay, with a heel and a baby face, this thing would have been 100 times better.
Yeah, but it's still going. It's still evolving.
Two of the best talkers of this generation, and they've just been doing Saturday Night Live skits.
It's still
there's
evolving.
No, there's
now.
Were people talking about him or not?
You just make excuses for it, but it's a completely wasted opportunity of talents. You had two awesome talkers that could have talked massive shit and had a series of violent matches against each other.
But
maybe Jericho. So now you want to put Chris in a series of violent matches. After we were saying earlier that he might be in the ring a little too much.
No, they did a musical in the middle of their angle.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
It's supposed to be
Jericho and MJF. The future of the business is looking at the up-and-coming guy, badass heel on the mic, and the generational Hall of Famer, and this is the angle they gave us?
But you acknowledged, you yourself said
Raise your hand if you're disappointed with the direction they've taken from Jericho and MJF.
I was at first. Now I'm like,
Harry, raise your hand.
Harry,
you got to be honest.
No, I like it, dude. I enjoy it.
Jericho and MJF.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it.
That's Disco. But I think you yourself, Disco, said that, you know, Jericho's going to be turning heel, or I'm sorry, babyface. It's working. It looks like they're going towards exactly what you're saying. MJF,
another Jericho and MJF match. Exactly. Right.
They're going. There's no intrigue. There's no story. There's no, like, doubt. You're looking at it like, oh, they're going to, you know. When they all beat up Jericho and he's a baby, everybody's going, what a great angle. It's like, no, it's not because there's no swerve.
Dude,
it was so obvious
that MJF was going to turn on Cody. We knew it was going to happen. And we just didn't know when it was going to happen. And it was great when it happened. The crowd went crazy in the arena. And the match was great.
Because they teased it a few times and they drew it out a little bit.
I think right now, when I'm looking at their numbers and they're just stuck, okay, I'm just trying to give advice on what I think they should do, and they should change the tone of a lot of their comedic stuff more serious. There's way too much comedic stuff on that show. That's not much today.
That's what I'm disappointed. Thank God.
Perfect example. The MJF Moxley angle was the best thing they've done in since they've been doing this whole thing. Okay, and the MJF character, that character against Chris Jericho's character. At an angle against each other would have been far more entertaining than Jericho than MJF and Moxley, but they turned it into comedic stuff, which is they've got already enough comedic stuff on the show, and that's what I'm disappointed in that. To be honest,
Disco, I'll say that I enjoyed more the Kingston against Moxley than the Moxley against MJF, because Moxley MJF I did want to see. Kingston, no disrespect, Conan, I know he's your boy. I had no clue who he was. I didn't like his look. I didn't enjoy anything about it. But he got me invested in that freaking match. And I went from zero interest to I want to watch this.
Yeah.
So I'll say that match development between Mox and Kingston was my favorite part in these last couple of months.
That reminds
me. Even over Moxley MJF.
It reminds me. Can someone help me out real quick? Because maybe I was spaced out or whatever. At the end of the show, after Kenny runs away with the belt with Callis, Eddie Kingston gets on the headset or something and says he wants Lance. Mm-hmm. Is that weird. Is that how the show?
He was looking for Lance Archer, I think, right?
And then the show ended, right?
Right.
Yeah, so.
That's a little strange.
So I watched the video online. Yeah, and Kingston and the Blade and all of them went out. But it seems like they ran out of time and they.
Yeah, they might have, because it's very weird. If you remember last week, out of the blue, for no reason, Lance Archer just came out and attacked somebody. Remember?
Yeah.
We were like, what?
Are they filming next week's AEW tonight?
Tomorrow.
Oh, it's tomorrow.
Oh, that's
a match on next week's show.
Why are they taping it?
They usually do Wednesday, Thursday.
They do? 40 degrees. See how cold it was there?
Well, I'm saying now it's going to get spoiled.
But they always do that. They always do that. They go live on Wednesday, and then on Thursday they shoot next week's show.
Yeah,
so that way the wrestlers go back home and they're not exposed every week, flying in and out every Tuesday and Thursday.
Every 2 weeks.
Now, what do you guys think it would be good if Disco was Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss's manager?
You know, absolutely.
Get in shape, look like a star.
Yeah.
Man, back in my day, what are you?
Khan announced yesterday that the Trios Championships are coming next year, so maybe Disco can be the third wheel.
Yeah, well, Sting is going to be tagging up with Darby and
Cody.
Cody.
Disco can wear the little short shorts that Sonny Kiss wears.
Oh, Jesus.
Who do you think he got it from?
It's an upper body business.
That was like an hour. That was like an hour and a half.
Yeah, because it's
who are you blaming?
Talking about yourself.
Who are you blaming?
Hey, but
Conan, I have a question.
Yo.
Everyone has faced this problem. What gift to choose? What to give yourself when you sit at home, and what to give a friend or parents? What to give your wife or husband, and what to give your children or a colleague at work? Wooden Puzzles Unidragon solves this problem. Why do people love Unidragon puzzles? Number one, each puzzle piece has its own unique shape. Number two, it's interesting for adults and children. Number three, each puzzle is packed in premium wooden gift box. Number four, new puzzles are released every month. And number five, it's got an incredibly colorful design. You will not regret checking this product out. Not only is it an excellent and unique gift for others, but it can be a gift for yourself. They're perfect for a nice, relaxing afternoon, and figuring out the puzzle will help keep your mind sharp. So go to Unidragon, that's UNIDRAGON.com, and use the code Conan, KONNAN, for 10% off your order. Joe, haven't you used this product before?
Yeah, we have. My wife was way into them. We have three Unidragon puzzles here already, and I have some on the way for myself because I like the... They call them the nature puzzles. You can do a sunrise, you can do a waterfall, evening in Amsterdam, and they all look really cool, and they're fun to do. It's like the ad said, relaxing afternoon, sit down, do your puzzle. My wife's clamoring for another one, so we're going to order another one for her as well, and it's a good gift. Surprise your significant other, surprise a friend, or just get one for yourself.
I had ordered one, and I did it with my wife, and we had a great time together. We used to do puzzles anyway before this, so when this came aboard, I really wanted to do it. So this is something we've used, and we had fun doing it, and obviously you exercise your brain, too.
Well, for our fans, one more time, that's unidragon.com for the most unique, creative, and challenging puzzles out there, and use the code Conan to let them know we sent you to get an additional 10% off discount. That's UNIDRAGON.com and KONNAN.
It says here, you wanted the Chiang Mai puzzle? Chiang Mai.
Yeah, that's the one I did, the Chiang Mai puzzle. Awesome. Get your puzzle game on at Unidragon.com. Boom.